Welcome to this portion of Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and right now our guest is a returning guest. His name is Robert Spencer, and he's a best-selling author, a New York Times best-selling author on the issue of Islam and especially radical Islam, jihad. In fact, he runs a website that's called jihadwatch.org. Jihadwatch.com also works. Robert, thanks so much for joining us. Appreciate it.
Always good to talk to you, Jerry. Thank you.
Sure. You know, it seems as if, I was just saying this to you before we got on the air here, it seems as if we don't hear much about Islam these days or jihad. Why is that?
I think the general feeling in the in mainstream media is that this is not a problem anymore, that the real problem is the so-called white supremacist threat, and that thus it deserves no attention if there is any jihad activity at all.
I'm sure you saw President Biden's remarks or read them in the news where he said just a couple days ago that white supremacists is the biggest threat that we face, you know, in America today. And I thought about that and I thought, well, you know, is that true? I mean, what about jihadists and so forth?
Well, Jerry, it's not remotely true. And all you have to do is just even the most cursory look at the daily headlines. The white supremacists are just nowhere in evidence. So the January 6th Capitol event, whatever it was exactly, is supposed to be some sort of white supremacist exercise. But this has not been proven. The people there had no weapons. The whole thing has been wildly exaggerated. Meanwhile, Antifa and Black Lives Matter have been rioting all over the country, regularly rioting in Portland, Oregon, and elsewhere, and you don't hear anything about a leftist threat. Also, there has been, as I know very well, ongoing jihad terror activity, jihad terror plotting. It's not over, and you don't hear anything about that. And so it's interesting that I've noted that in the articles about Biden's speech and in previous articles about claims by the FBI director and others that white supremacism is the biggest terror threat in the United States today, the one thing that's glaringly lacking is any examples of white supremacist terrorism. Now, I'm sure there are some obnoxious, noxious, evil white supremacists out there, but this threat is being wildly exaggerated as much as the January 6th Capitol riot, and for the same reason, in order ultimately to classify pretty much everyone who is not a leftist as a white supremacist, and to stigmatize and ultimately perhaps even to criminalize any dissent from the leftist agenda.
Now, normally, as you pointed out earlier, the mainstream media ignores a lot of the radical jihad. But I will say this. My wife was showing me the Wall Street Journal, and I believe it was today's edition, which is today, just a timestamp. This is Monday, June 7th, 2021. And she was showing me, look, you know, here's an article about jihadists is somewhere in Africa killed 130 people. I believe it was 130 Christians.
Yes, it was in Burkina Faso. That's right. And this is the kind of thing that I'm just talking about. The jihad in Africa is more aggressive and bloody than ever. In Nigeria, it's taken a terrible toll on the Christian community. But none of that is reported in the West, except at jihadwatch.org. And meanwhile, where are white supremacists killing people? We just don't see that because it doesn't exist. This threat is a phantom threat that is being fabricated for political purposes.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. When you were just describing, well, where are the white supremacists killing, people and so forth? One thing that came to my mind was, okay, in August, I think it was August of 2017, in Charlottesville, they had that terrible riot, with the forces, I don't know who those people were. Somebody lifted up a rock and they came out from it. And then you had the Antifa types and they were all fighting each other. But you had that one guy that drove a car and killed a leftist protester. And I think, okay, there's a white supremacist. That guy is a white supremacist. And I think, by the way, if I'm not mistaken, he's already in prison.
Yes, I think so. And so you have one incident from 2017. While, every night I go on Twitter, I see the incredibly courageous journalist Andy Ngo in Portland with video of Antifa rioting and continuing to riot night after night after night. and they get arrested, they get released, and they just do it again.
You know, by the way, that guy really is courageous. His last name is spelled N-G-O. I didn't even know how to pronounce it. I'm glad you said that. But it seems like he's not even safe in America necessarily, and sometimes he has to be in other places because, for example, just recently, didn't they go to his hotel in Portland and they were surrounding it? And it's like just like right in the Bible, Genesis 19, with Sodom and Gomorrah, you know, where they, you know, hand them over or whatever, banging on the doors and so forth.
That's right, Jerry, and that's after they beat him up. He actually, I mean, his courage is really astonishing and exemplary. And even though he was almost killed by them last year, he went into another Antifa riot disguised, but he was nonetheless recognized and was beaten very severely, but was able to run into that hotel. And that's where, as you noted, they were banging on the door and baying for his blood. And there's really, you know, you think about our journalists today just posting Democratic Party press releases as if they're news and compare them to Andy Ngo, it's astonishing how much journalism has fallen. And it's heartening that there are a few people with courage in the world still today.
Wow. That's interesting. All right, let's shift gears and talk about politics and Islam. There's, you know, obviously a couple of prominent Muslim congresswomen, Tlaib and Omar. And are there more that they're planning to run in future elections?
Oh, there's no doubt about that whatsoever. There is an ongoing effort, as a matter of fact. This is a concerted effort that was launched a few years ago to get as many Muslim candidates as possible running in as many offices, local, state, and national as possible, get as many elected as possible. And so, you know, when you have an effort like that, and of course nobody would dare to oppose it or point out that there are Muslim Brotherhood-linked groups that are involved in it and so on, then it's going to achieve considerable success, particularly in districts like those of Tlaib and Omar that are essentially one-party states. So all they have to do is capture the Democratic Party establishment, and they're guaranteed a place in Congress.
Does Omar represent directly the places in Minneapolis where there's been all that, you know, violence and so forth in the wake of the death of George Floyd?
Yeah, quite a bit of it, but I'm not sure if the area where the George Floyd Memorial was up until just a few days ago, at least I saw that it had started to be dismantled, and where there was some violence recently that caused it to be dismantled. I'm not sure that's her district, but I do know that her district is the number one terror recruitment capital in the United States, with the most Americans going to join jihad terror groups. That's Ilhan Omar's district, and she has steadfastly refused even to acknowledge that fact, much less to try to do something about it.
When there was all that violence that happened in Minneapolis, were some of those maybe her people? I mean, I don't want to sound, you know, I don't want to paint with a broad brush here, but what are your thoughts?
Well, I don't have any direct knowledge, of course, but I don't think that she had actual representatives of her office there, but I would be extremely surprised if the vast majority of the people involved in those riots were not supporters of hers and thought that it was great that she was in Congress.
But okay, tell us more about this active recruitment among jihadists.
Oh yeah, the FBI has found that over the last few years, first it was Al-Shabaab. Al-Shabaab is a jihad terror group in the Horn of Africa from around Somalia, which is of course where she's from. First they were going, quite a few young people from Minneapolis were actually returning to Somalia, where they were born or where their parents were born, to join Al-Shabaab. Then with the advent of ISIS, the Islamic State, they started to join that. And so there are more young people, more people of any age, who have joined jihad terror groups from Ilhan Omar's district than from any other congressional district in the country.
All right, comment on the difference between the state of radical Islam in the world under Trump versus now under President Biden?
It's very clear, Jerry, that the jihadis are emboldened now and more aggressive than ever. They see the world in terms of strength and weakness. They see Biden as weak, Biden's people as weak, the people who are running him as weak. And so they think that it's time to act. And we see Iran emboldened, harassing American ships in the Gulf. We see Iran emboldened also in regard to arming Hamas and being, of course, it was Iran that was behind the latest round of violence between Hamas and Israel. And this is all because they figured that Biden's people would not firmly support Israel, and of course they were right in that, would press Israel for concessions, and so it was a win-win situation for them.
All right, and how about any further comments about Israel and Gaza and the recent violence?
The recent violence is, of course, all part of the larger effort to destroy Israel altogether, which is based on the Quran, the holy book of Islam, chapter 2, verse 191, which says, drive them out from where they drove you out. Now, it's not actually historically accurate to say that the Palestinian Arabs were driven out of Israel or of the territory that is now Israel, but that is the claim. And on the basis of that claim that they make, they are able to convince people in the Palestinian territories that this is their responsibility before Allah, their responsibility before what they consider to be the supreme being, the creator of the universe, that they have to drive out Israel and destroy it. And so this is not a war that is going to be solved by negotiations. The ceasefire that is prevailing at present is only temporary. And as soon as Iran continues, succeeds in completely rearming Hamas or rearming it to their mutual satisfaction, then they will resume their jihad.
We've seen some Palestinians rioting in the streets in America during the recent times. Your comment on that?
Oh, it's extraordinary, Jerry. It's more anti-Semitism, more open anti-Semitism, more anti-Semitic violence than we have seen since World War II, since the time of the Nazis. And to see it happening in the United States is extraordinarily disturbing and ought to be disturbing to any free person. But there is no doubt that all over the country, visibly Jewish people have been targeted, have been harassed, have been the recipients of violent attacks, all because they are associated with the State of Israel and its alleged atrocities, which, of course, universally, they have nothing whatsoever to do with. And so it's ironic that it's Biden's own people and the Democratic Party's own supporters that are doing this, and yet they're supposed to be the party against prejudice and hatred and so on. This just shows up their hypocrisy quite vividly, because it's the rhetoric of people like Tlaib and Omar that's responsible for this outbreak of violence against Jews.
All right, and going back to the political question, do you happen to know offhand during the 2020 election, did Trump get more votes from Muslims or did Biden get more votes from Muslims, or do you know?
Oh, Biden got overwhelmingly more votes from Muslims, and that was to be expected. Muslims tend to vote in a block, and I'm sure that is not universally true, and I'm sure that there are individual Muslims who make up their mind on the basis of who they determine to be the best candidate. But the reality is that in many Muslim countries and in many Islamic communities in the United States, that they get instructions on who to vote for and go and vote that way. And so we're talking about one of the most unanimous voting blocks in the United States today.
All right, we have 20 seconds to wrap up. JihadWatch.org for more information. 20-second conclusion, please.
Well, JihadWatch.org is dedicated to bringing you news about jihad activity that is not being reported today. The activity is still going on, and ignoring it will not make it go away. So check out jihadwatch.org every day.
Robert Spencer, thanks so much for being with us. All the best.
Pleasure, Jerry. Thank you.
Okay, great. Bye-bye.